Coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg here. The organization known as Racing Commissioners International recently held a meeting in which they've introduced some changes to how the LASIX program should be administered both in the States and here in Canada. In addition to that, they've given the go-ahead for the folks at WEG to introduce some new wagering initiatives. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with the president of Racing Commissioners International, Mr. Ed Martin, my guest on today's edition of Trot Radio. Ed Martin, welcome to Trot Radio.
Hey, Norm, thanks for having me.
First question, and I should preamble this by saying the goal is admirable with respect to protecting the betting public, but how does limiting who can administer LASIX from the veterinary community further that goal?
Well, one of the things that the sport has struggled with is public perception. Mm-hmm. And the public perception of having a veterinarian in the stall on race day has been a troubling one. And it's concerned regulators long before the LASIX issue came back to light for a revisitation. And there are some jurisdictions, Minnesota, for instance, has a practice where the private veterinarians who administer LASIX only do so under the supervision of the state racing commission personnel.
Now, who would be able to administer then? Commission-approved veterinarians, I take it.
Or the track vet. The track vet is viewed as independent, somebody who's not in private practice for the trainer.
Sure. Is the ultimate goal to eliminate the use of LASIX?
That jury is out, Norm. RCI has opted to revisit the issue. There is a concern that the use of LASIX on race day, and this started more in thoroughbred racing than it did in standardbred racing, but the use of LASIX on race day is done more so to put everybody on an even footing in a race than it is to deal with a potential health issue of the horse.
Right.
Exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage.
Right.
What we are trying to clearly understand, because exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage is the only equine condition
that LASIX is meant to handle, right?
The day the horse races.
Well, then it begs the question, or it brings up the suspicion then that's been brought up, and that is that LASIX is a good masking agent, which may explain why so many horses are on it. It's a troubling concept.
Well, that, you know, I've heard that argument, and I heard that argument, my heavens, it must be 15 years ago when I first started working at the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. And there was a concern at that time that it might be a masking agent. But the scientific advances in our labs have basically eliminated that concern. That's an argument that some are saying, but that's not an argument that we are recognizing.
So you're saying that you'll get a field completely made up of horses on LASIX, and a good number of them don't really need it because they don't have EIPH. Equal footing to do what, I suppose?
There have been studies that have shown that LASIX can have an effect on the performance of some horses. So if you're a trainer and you've got an owner who has not been winning or has been winning, and you run a horse and that horse loses to a horse that was on LASIX, first question that's going to be asked is, why didn't you run the horse on LASIX?
That is true, but in a lot of jurisdictions, if I'm not mistaken, Ontario being one of them, vis-a-vis standardbreds, you have to physically show that the horse is bled.
And that varies depending on the jurisdiction. In some, the trainer can put the horse on the LASIX list. In others, you have to undergo a veterinary examination. And the whole system has become a patchwork over the last 20 years since it pretty much came into North America.
Well, certainly some uniformity is needed, because the last I checked, there were studies that were inconclusive as to the efficacy of LASIX. So,
well, you know, the South African study basically indicates that LASIX is effective in reducing levels of EIPH. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cure him. It doesn't cure the condition. It reduces it. And the condition is virtually ubiquitous, especially with today's scoping technology. You can you can scope a horse, and if you want to put that horse on the Lasix list, you're going to probably be able to do it.
You'll find blood somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah. I want to move to the issue of oversight, specifically regarding horses in the time leading up to a race that, for example, may or may not seem right. And, of course, I'm referring to the Life at 10 incident in the Ladies Classic Breeders' Cup. Is that what has spurred the other initiative that came out of your most recent meeting, vis-a-vis the powers given to more personnel to make the call and say, look, this horse isn't right?
We believe that there is a responsibility that is shared by racing officials, whether you are an employee of the track or an employee of the commission, that if you see something that concerns you or do you think may potentially endanger a horse running in that race, you need to tell somebody, and you need to tell the steward. And that has been the practice in a number of instances, a number of jurisdictions. But we just felt that the level of controversy that's been percolating over the Life at 10 situation, we just wanted to clearly underscore that that is something that if you have a license as a racing official, you have a responsibility not just to do your job, but to ring the fire alarm if you see something that the stewards need to know about.
Well, it certainly was very costly for John Veach in terms of his reputation. For those unfamiliar, John Veach, very successful thoroughbred trainer turned steward, did not in the eyes of the, I guess it's the Kentucky Commission, take the proper steps to make sure that Life at 10 was removed from the race, despite the arguments of jockey John Velasquez, who said the same thing. This, you know, the horse isn't right. But I guess that leads to my next question. And we see it in both breeds. You know, a horse gets fractious in the gate or behind the gate. Sometimes they'll settle down and behave. Other times they won't. Despite the best horse sense of whether, you know, it be a jock or a driver or a trainer, are we in danger, perhaps, of scratching a lot of horses on what might just be a hunch?
I don't think so. You know, horses are like people. We have good days and bad days, and same thing with our horses. And there are situations that spook a horse, there's horses that can be moody, and, you know, these are such unique situations, and I'm not going to address the Life at 10 situation in specific because it's obviously a personnel matter and there's litigation going on about it, but you know, sometimes in racing, things happen, and it, just like in life, and you can't safeguard against it, but our concern is this. We just want everybody to know, if you really believe that there's something wrong with the horse, you need to tell somebody.
And this would place a responsibility upon whom? Jockeys, drivers?
On the officials. We had a discussion about who to put the responsibility on. We're basically talking about the officials, the starter, guys at the gate, anybody who basically be definition of a racing, of, you know, those people.
Now, I wanted to ask you, before a fight, for example, boxers get a once-over from the athletic commission doctor. Do you see the day when the same will happen in our sport, for example? You know, a vet will go through the paddock and check over each horse, determine if they're fit to race that night based on, for example, baseline data, such as heart rate, blood pressure, etc.?
Well, the RCI model rules are in support of pre-race exams by the regulatory vet or the track vet for every horse that races. The access to baseline health information is not always there because a lot of that information is guarded and is not, and the technology was, I would assume, would be a fairly costly investment to be able to have people walking around with PDAs and have that information at their fingertips. But our veterinarians, we encourage them to pretty much take a look at the horse. We want to see the horse absent the influence of any NASIDs, which is why we've advocated pulling the bute threshold back. We don't want anything that could be a legitimate treatment that have a lingering effect that would mask the integrity of the pre-race exam. That's why we changed the bute threshold. So we've come out in favor of increased pre-race vet exams. And that obviously becomes a matter of cost and personnel to the various tracks and commissions. And But I don't see us reversing our support for that at all.
You also made certain adjustments to the rules affecting certain wagers, specifically the Superfecta. What are those changes?
Well, I'm going to ask you to talk to the folks at Woodbine about that. What we basically did is, at the request of the Canadian Parimutuel Agency, Woodbine had expressed a desire to offer some new configurations on some wagers, and our position is, if there's not an integrity concern, that we would try to accommodate that, and there wasn't with the changes that they were going to do. As far as them making announcements of their new wagering, I don't want to get out in front of them, but
sure.
It was, we took a technical look at it. We had our Parimutuel Auditors Committee look at it, our Model Rules Committee, and we adopted what they had proposed to us, and we didn't see any integrity concerns, so we opened up the option for them to be able to offer these wagers. When they will begin or how they'll roll that out, I can't tell you.
So there will be variations to the Superfecta, is that what you're saying, without having to say too much?
Well, yeah, it's an attempt to try to make it more enticing for the players.
Sure.
And our attitude is kind of, if there's not an integrity concern, we want to encourage creativity in the sport.
One overarching question, and I guess I'll bundle a couple of them here since we're running out of time. How will the LASIKs, in particular, rulings affect Canadian harness racing? Have you been in contact with the Ontario Racing Commission? And how does that whole thing work in terms of protocol?
Well, the Ontario Racing Commission is one of our major members. And I'm not going to speak for them, but there has been quite a large amount of discussion internally among the regulators, not only in Canada, but also in the U.S., on the LASIKs issue. And there are some people who feel that it is not broken and it shouldn't be touched. And there are others who believe that this needs to be revisited because there are elected officials in the U.S. Peddling the use of LASIKs as an indication that horse racing is rampant with performance-enhancing drugs.
Okay.
And that's an issue that is potentially very damaging to the sport, to the image of the sport, among people who are prospective fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we released a report of all the drug testing that was done by the commissions in the United States and of all the samples that were sent to the lab. And horse racing has the most aggressive drug testing program than any other professional sport. We test for more substances at deeper levels. And our standards are stricter than the International Olympic Committee's. And the amount of money that's spent just in the U.S. on testing in horse racing, harness, thoroughbred, and quarter horse, dwarfs what is spent worldwide by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very good story to tell. 99.5% of them come back clean.
Mm.
And of that other one-half of 1%, about 70% of those are for overages of otherwise legal therapeutic substance. Somebody screwed up.
Yeah. One last question, and it pertains to, you know, how this whole thing will work. The commissioners have come up with this policy regarding LASIKs in this case. Is it incumbent, therefore, on, say, an Ontario Racing Commission to adopt the changes? Are they bound to do that, or is it something voluntary?
Well, it's voluntary.
Okay.
You know, it's voluntary. I mean, we've looked at the Ontario operation, and we're very comfortable with what Ontario does. I mean, Ontario's got a pretty good program in terms of their investigations, in terms of their policing of the drug issues, their out of competition testing. The LASIKs issue, even though it gets the most public attention because it is such a heated debate, it really isn't the most serious issue we face.
Ed Martin, president of Racing Commissioners International, pleasure to have you with us.
Norm, thank you for having with me. I'll be with you anytime you want me.
All the best, sir.